everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, all five bird bass had an extremely hard freeze. I went out there with a hammer.
Woodstock didn't know which one to skate in.
Well,
then,
I know. I went out there with a hammer and tried to break off some of the ice so the birds would have a cold drink, to say the least. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
26 degrees was the official low in Tucson, and so this keeps us now.
What did you have at your place?
24.
Oh,
so,
boy.
You know, we're on track here for the coldest January in a generation in Tucson. But look what's going on. Florida, record snow. New Orleans, I think the record had been like in Pensacola, 4 inches, and I think they had some places around Pensacola had 12 inches of snow. So it's a crazy January. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of January, 2025. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio at the Bustos Media Center here in central Tucson, where we have five radio stations under one roof, all the five stations, including our newest acquisition, the very popular Drive, doing well, very well. This one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We broke out the champagne on the Buckmaster Show on January 2nd as we launched into our 15th year with our radio program, and now my 37th year into the 37th year in the Tucson radio and TV scene. We have our worldwide live listening and, of course, our podcast at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our friends at Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management, sponsor that. Let's kick things off with Adelita Grijalva, Democrat representing District Number 5, who was reelected to a second four-year term in November. When she was first elected in November 2020, she became the first Latina to be elected in District 5, and she is now the outgoing chair. She's an outgoing person anyway.
She's
the former chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Adelita, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? And congratulations on 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years, and then pushing now toward 40 years since I arrived in town on a very snowy December 26th in 1987. I think that was like the day after Christmas, and we had like, you may remember that, 6 inches of snow. It was
I do remember
you
snow
do remember
one
snow.
Time.
Maybe when you must have been really small, but yeah, that was back in the day, as they say. All right, so your Rex Scott, your colleague on the five-member board, Rex representing district number one, which is my home district. He will become and has become the chair, but now he was the representative for Pima County on the very important 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board, which is in the midst of crafting a new 20-year program, which will possibly go to the voters in November. So this is a real important role for you. And there's been quite a shakeup on that board, hasn't there?
There has. It looks like there'll be four new members, including myself, Mayor Valenzuela from South Tucson, leadership at Pascuayaki, and then Mayor of Marana. So those are all of the new people coming in. And I think that it is a really good time for us to, we're not invested and we weren't authors of any of what came before us. So being able to walk in with fresh eyes to look at how these funds are going to be distributed equitably across all of our region is really important. And I feel like my role is really supposed to be looking at the region as a whole. I think Supervisor Scott did a good job of communicating the needs of Pima County residents as a whole. And, you know, I think my position being representing D5, which a majority of it is in the city of Tucson, I'm coming in with the lens that equity for the city benefits the entire region. And so I'm hoping that that's going to be very helpful. And then basically Supervisor Scott and I just switch roles. So he's the chair and I'm the vice chair. Yeah. We just still sit next to each other.
Yeah.
And I think that that, you know, having shared leadership and having different people in the role is really critically important mm-hmm. to a good board.
You were the chair for 2 years? Or?
2 years, yeah. Right. And so when we first came on to the Board of Supervisors would historically elect one person for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we changed that that first year, that we would just do year by year, you know, and mm-hmm. elect leadership. And mm-hmm. in the time that I was chair, we also switched a lot of the discretion of the chair to votes of the board as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important because we're all duly elected and really the chair should be running the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much their role.
So in order to sell this program to the voters in November, there's got to be something in it for everybody. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, the bottom line is people are going to vote if they think that, that it's going to help their particular community.
Absolutely.
And that, you've all got to get on the same page to move this thing over the goal line.
We really do. And if we have split votes on the RTA, historically in boards where I've been, we voted on bonds or override and there was a split board, those are not successful.
No.
You know, because you have people that are in the know, sort of sabotaging, talking to people about the negatives.
Yeah, they're saying, you know, this isn't going to fly. I don't like it. So you've got to make that unanimous.
We have to make it unanimous and really work as hard as we can to make sure that people understand the benefits regionally and what happens if this doesn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially for Pima County, it will be devastating. We won't have the infrastructure
and
support.
Those of us who reside in a particular area, like I do in District 1, we're totally reliant on the road programs from Pima County.
Absolutely.
And there's nobody coming to the rescue from the state.
No, and less from anywhere else. So really, it's going to be something that we have to do for ourselves, for our community, and I will work really hard to get to a point where we can all have some unanimous support. And it might not be what I want or what, you know, Mayor Romero wants or what Mayor, you know, Valenzuela wants, but collectively we can agree that it's good for the region. I think that that's going to be a real positive.
Have any of these edicts or whatever that President Trump signed, do you see any of them impacting Pima County right away?
Thus far, I think that there were 30 plus mm-hmm. executive orders, mm-hmm. and just at a cursory read, 5 of them had to do with our southern border. And so I anticipate that we're going to have some impact. I do know anecdotally from somebody that I know that works at the Drexel facility where Casalitas used to be,
mm-hmm.
Where our asylum seekers are supposed to go, that they didn't have a bus day before yesterday. So there will be an impact, absolutely. We had people that were on a wait list for an appointment, and as soon as Trump was sworn mm-hmm. in, you know, that app just disappeared, and so did all of those appointments. And so, you know, for at least half of our country, people are very supportive of that. Mm-hmm. I just wonder how many people that are on the border actually understanding what the symbiotic relationship that we have with Mexico directly, how many of them are celebrating? I'm not sure. How many of those, you know, business owners, agriculture, warehouse that rely on labor from people coming from Mexico and going back home,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the border that has access, that's going to be critically important for us to figure out comprehensive immigration reform. And I anticipate that that won't be coming until we have a change in administration in mm-hmm. 4 years.
So we've had Sheriff Nanos on the show and said that the Sheriff's Department, they'll be notified if the feds take some kind of action, but he didn't anticipate them assisting. And then Chad Kazmar, who is the Tucson police chief, will be my guest on Friday, and we'll we'll get the latest from him, but I don't anticipate that the city police will be helping either.
No. Mayor Romero made a comment, and both Sheriff Nanos, County Attorney Conover, and I penned an op-ed essentially saying that our resources are not going to be going towards federal immigration enforcement. If someone is committing a crime, then our law enforcement will address that like they would any other. But if we will not be utilizing any of our staff for immigration enforcement.
Is the sheriff's department, I know the report on the sheriff's department, their plans about the jail, and there's been a lot of study about a new jail or maybe upgrading the jail. Isn't that due before the end of this month? You guys are going to take a look at some kind of this blueprint for moving forward?
Right. I know that we've discussed it, and we have received some estimates of costs, and I didn't read anyone on our board, you know, overly enthusiastic about investing the tens of millions of dollars into changes at the jail, like wholesale changes. I do think that there are areas that need maintenance. There have been some deferred maintenance that I think there's mm-hmm. a causal relationship with the deferred maintenance, and now sort of, you know, this report that we're receiving that we need to build an entire jail.
Yeah, you're looking at updates probably.
Well, right.
Most probably an update.
Yeah, not in favor of doing anything where we're tearing down this jail and moving it to another area, building a whole new jail.
It's not that old, is it?
I mean, no, one portion is 17 years old, the newest, and another one is about 35. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, most of us live in homes that are over 17 years old, and we appreciate that maintenance is important. But I will absolutely, and I've committed to this from the moment it sort of rolled out as an option, that I will not be voting in favor of any massive investment at the jail. I think the goal should be to reduce the jail population with a series of programs and counseling, detox facilities, those things outside of the jail environment.
Well, I live in a home that was built in 1961 and just put a new roof on the home last week. Boy, was that disruptive. But I'm sure glad it's done. And of course, it is expensive, but look at the alternative.
Absolutely.
I mean, the next monsoon, what's going to happen after 30 years? The chances are there's going to be a leak.
You'll have some damage. Yeah. Right. And yeah. I think that that's one of the things is when, you know, you're cutting costs in different areas. And this is not directed to Sheriff Nanos. I mean, this has been over several kind of leadership changes mm-hmm. that there have been some deferred maintenance that needed to happen. And it's one of those things. And I know in being on a part of TUSD, when you look at areas and say, yeah, that needs a new roof, but do you think it maybe can last another year or two mm-hmm. so we could do this other more urgent project? Mm-hmm. I'm sure those were the decisions that they were facing. And now we have to deal with the consequences of that.
You were the chair, I think, three different times in your 20 years on the TUSD board?
Yes.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. How do you think they're doing over there?
I think they're doing a great job. I think that they have a board that is diverse. The majority is really focused on centering the work around students and employees. And I think that that's really important. They're going to have some difficult budget situations, and I'm very concerned about the impact of some of the changes at the federal level in regards to Title I and Title IX and some of those other federal streams of funding that really support mm-hmm. our local schools that may not be available.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're a little past the first break when we should be taking the break, but caller Matt is on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt, keep your question very tight, and let's see if we can go to the break at 12:20, Tom. How's that sound? All right, go ahead, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Thank you, Supervisor Grijalva. Very quickly, without, you know, I could expound on this in a billion different ways, but the L.A. fires. Southern Arizona has a strong relationship with Southern California, especially Los Angeles and the Palisades. Any thoughts about monitor any relationships or any help we can attribute to them? Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. I do I do have a good friend who is a firefighter, and our resources are spread really thin here in southern Arizona, and specifically in Pima County, from what I understand. They don't have a lot of people, but I was very heartened to see the bomberos from Mexico come, about 100 of them, some firefighters from Canada help. I think that what we really need to focus on is making sure that we make our area as safe as possible so we don't have those kind of fires, because that is something that can happen here.
Everybody take a look around your property, and at least, you know, 5 feet, 10 feet within your property, keep that clean from any kind of, you know, combustibles.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
That would be the step in the right direction. All right. Okay, 12:20, and we will take the break and back with Adelita Grijalva for a few minutes. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Stay with us.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Midweek Edition, 22nd of January. Adelita Grijalva is with us, the vice chair of the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors, and she's one of four new members on the nine-member Regional Transportation Board. The elections folks, the officials who were in charge of putting on the November election, made a report yesterday to the Board of Supervisors. They felt it went well. Supervisor Christie did not. What was your feeling after that was all said and done yesterday?
You know, I think that it... I think he's feeding to some of his supporters who made a lot of comments about the elections not being safe. But I think it's hypocritical if you're one of the people that won If the election is unsafe and rigged, but you were one of the people that won, I just find that really hypocritical. But I think they did a really good job with the elections. There were many things that were out of the control of both our county recorder, Gabriela Casadas Kelly, and our director of elections, Constance Hargrove. The director is an employee of Pima County. Our recorder is overwhelmingly elected to her position. And so I think they've made some really important changes to access for voters. And I think just communicating out what some of the issues were important, but press releases went out throughout this process. So to act as if we didn't have the information.
Where there was that time where the hotline or the info line had to be shut down.
So what happened?
So much.
Yeah, it was the volume. And what was going on is there was a portal open that you could request an online ballot. Mm-hmm. But there was a delay in the delivery of the ballot because of a whole other set of reasons that were out of the control of either one of these two individuals. And so that you can't anticipate some of those things. So a lot of people like me and you who receive our ballots at home were calling up saying, oh my gosh, I don't have my ballot, and requesting a ballot. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of duplicates. Mm-hmm. And so you didn't want to send them out right away knowing that someone was going to be receiving it the next day. And so the online option was closed and an email went out to, I don't even know how many people, basically saying, if you don't receive your ballot in the next week, please give us a call. Mm-hmm. I want to say the vast majority, if not all of those people, had their issues addressed with a ballot showing up mm-hmm. in the next couple of days.
So the budget for the upcoming year, well, we're finishing out, well, it's about 6 months in this budget. Will the county, is it on track to be keeping this in the black?
Yes. We right now are $6 million.
Because we're midway through the budget year.
Yeah. Right. And we're $6 million ahead of where we thought we were going to be at this time. Hmm. So we're not, counting too much of that because I know that we need some carry forward and there'll always be emergency issues that come up. But I'm really happy with where we are in our projected savings and spend downs in different departments.
Mm-hmm. So Jan Lesher's compensation program, you felt her compensation was fair. Jan's got a 2-year package. She could extend it for a couple more years if she decides. I think she's too young, quite honestly, to even be thinking about retirement. She's 70, but she said, I'll do it for 2 more years and maybe if things are going well, extend.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great option. It's a great option for the county. One of the things that didn't make sense to me and when we first got into this position is at the beginning of 4-year terms, mm-hmm. when you're brand new and don't have a relationship with this person that you're expected to hire for 4 years. So not only did we change the leadership of the board to only an annual, we are hoping to get off cycle. So when our county administrator chooses to leave, that will not be hiring and offering a contract to somebody with brand new board members on the board mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really healthy for an organization. And her compensation, we're so fortunate. I said this during the meeting. We're so fortunate to have someone with federal, state, county, and city experience. Mm-hmm. She's an incredible asset to Pima County and has done a really fantastic job. And I was happy to support her.
And for those that don't know, Jan Lesher was involved with helping out Governor Napolitano when the governor was the governor. And then Jan went with the governor when the governor became the head of Homeland Security. And Jan was basically number 2 in Homeland Security. That's a huge position.
It's a significant, it's so huge. And and the knowledge of her connections in different areas. And I talk to her about every other day and am just, she meets with everybody. She has personal relationships with so many people. And when she talks to directors about the budget, she meets with them mm-hmm. individually. She'll meet with the courts. She meets with everybody. And so I think that she's, the first person in the office in the morning and the last person to leave. She's there on weekends. She's an incredibly hard worker and very effective as our county administrator.
So there was a count done on unsheltered people, and it's very difficult to get a an accurate census of how many people are unsheltered, who are out on the streets. And boy, what a horrible winter this would be.
Yeah.
To be out on the streets. My goodness, coldest in 25 years. But I guess the numbers are a little higher than they were a year or so ago.
Yeah, and we're going to do another point in time count. And I'll be one of those people out there at 6 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday the 29th going out, and it's going to be chilly, going out and counting. We actually have a training for that count this evening. And so I'm very curious to see where we are at this point. And last time I had a couple people I know go and do this count, they were really saddened to see so many young people, mm-hmm. People with children out. And so that
and
really
dogs.
Right.
And, yeah.
Those vulnerable populations are the populations that I think we need to try to find indoor spaces for. And we're working on that for sure.
All right. Give my regards to your dad.
Thank you.
How's he doing? Going through his treatment,
he's
right?
He's doing okay. He is a tough man. Yes, he is.
Well, wish him well. A lot of people are hoping for the best for him.
Absolutely, I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Adelita Grijalva with us on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a mid-show break. What's going on with the Red Cross? We'll talk a little bit about how people can help our friends over in Southern California. Then Juan Siskamani will join me at about 12:45. We'll check in with the congressman from D.C. So, still got a very full agenda for you for the back end of Buckmaster on a Wednesday. We will be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. I don't know about you, but I've lost a lot of the flowering plants. And there's went ahead and pulled the dead plants from the planters. And what does all of that mean for Green Things? Well, I'll tell you what it means. They're going to be really busy when things start to settle down. And hopefully that might be very soon that we get back to more normal weather. And into February, people are going to be heading over to Green Things and saying, you know, I need to really replenish what I've lost. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, and their sister business is Zocalo Village. I don't know about you, but I love the sound of water in a fountain. Well, they're doing a lot of those now. That's kind of a new piece of the business at Zocalo Village. They now call them Zocalo Fountains. They've got some beautiful fountains, so check that out the next time you're over at Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. And Jan and Jack are very hands-on, the owners of Green Things. Had a lot of our listeners have been wondering, what in the world can we do to help our friends in Southern California? Maybe Courtney Sloniker of the Red Cross, the Southern Arizona chapter, where she's the executive director, can help us out about what the Red Cross is doing to help our friends in Southern California. Hey, Courtney, how are you?
Hey, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, doing great.
People are wondering, is there something that – how's the Red Cross – they always respond, of course, to these disasters. What's been going on over in Southern California?
Yeah, I mean, as – you all have seen in the news, these, you know, Southern California wildfires have been absolutely devastating. I think it's a word that gets overused, but there's really no other way to describe the sheer loss in Southern California. About, you know, 17,000 homes are either, you know, completely destroyed or majorly damaged, where those community members won't be able to get back in. But the Red Cross is always there in times of disaster response and recovery. So we have about 500 different disaster volunteers, employees that are on the ground providing essential services like a safe refuge to sleep in, to get three meals a day, and to start their recovery process. And one of the big things that Red Cross is doing outreach to the fire survivors is on providing immediate financial assistance. So as many of you know, or maybe you don't, I personally haven't experienced such great loss. You know, the fire takes everything. So maybe mm-hmm. you only had, you know, a few minutes to leave and you weren't able to grab all your essentials. This immediate financial assistance allows the survivor to purchase what they need for their recovery. And I think that's a really important thing for the community to know. A lot of times in these major disasters, we have an outpouring of support. People want to donate things. They want to donate clothes. They want to donate hygiene products. And all those things are important. It might not be exactly what that survivor needs. And so the financial assistance allows them to direct their recovery. It gives them autonomy over their recovery so that they have like a small sense of control. When you've talked to disaster survivors, a lot of times everything is out of their control. Was their home destroyed? Was it not, right? Can they get back into their community? There's so many things that are out of their control. If we can give them a little piece of that control back so that they can start their recovery, that's the best thing. And so we do ask the public, we really appreciate your in-kind donations, but the best way and the quickest way for us to mobilize support for the survivors is through a direct financial contribution.
How do they make that contribution, Courtney?
Yeah, great question, Bill. And folks can go online. You can go to redcross.org. You can look for different ways to donate. You can donate specifically to the California wildfire responses, or you can make a general disaster relief donation, knowing that our communities are facing continuous disasters. So that's another great way to contribute, knowing that disaster relief gift will be used where it's needed most at a moment's notice when disasters are impacting our communities across the nation. You can also call 1-800-RED-CROSS, or you can text 90999. to make a $10 donation.
Coming up on the anniversary of when the Red Cross saved my life when I had a bleeding ulcer in 1970. I'm always indebted to the folks at the Red Cross because the blood does save lives. How can people help in that regard, Courtney?
Yeah, the need for blood is constant. And like you said, you just never know when someone might experience an emergency where they need a blood product. So, and especially when our country is facing multiple disasters in multiple different areas, that impacts our ability to collect blood. Blood drives get canceled, and they're having to be moved, but we still need to collect those units. So we encourage folks that are in non-affected regions, you know, roll up a sleeve. It's a very short amount of time to save someone's life, like you, Bill. So you can go to redcrossblood.org. You can type in your zip code, find a blood drive that's nearest you. It's super convenient. Really, total time it's going to take out of your day, 45 to 50 minutes. That's a very small amount of time for a lifetime impact for somebody else. So you can call us 1-800-RED-CROSS. We can help you book your appointment. Or you can download the Red Cross Blood Donor app and put in your zip code. And again, you'll find all the blood drives nearest you and find a way to support.
How about helping the folks who unfortunately are suffering with cancer and they need blood products, Courtney Sloniker?
Yeah, so blood products are used for multiple different patients for different needs. But specifically our cancer patients, when they're going through really aggressive treatments, a lot of times they will need platelet products. So platelets are one of the main blood components that make up your blood. And sometimes during their chemo treatments and radiation, that you'll see their platelet counts drop really low. And platelets only have a 5-day shelf life. So it's a really quick turnaround time from when the donor donates the platelets to the time it needs to make its way to a patient. So we're in constant need of platelet donors. The platelet donors take a little bit longer. You're typically with us for about 2 hours, but we get you comfortable in a nice kind of reclined chair, blanket. You get to catch up on your Netflix series. We take your whole blood out. We spin out through a centrifuge process the platelets, and then we return your other blood components back to you with a little bit of saline solution. So all in all, you're usually with us for about 2 to 2.5 hours. And again, those platelets have such a short shelf life that the need to constantly replenish the supply is great. When you donate whole blood, it has about a 42-day shelf life. So we have, a little more lead time to get those products where they need to go. But platelets are in high demand.
All right, Courtney, we're going to wrap it up right here with you again. Give us the information we need to know.
Oh, thanks, Bill. And thanks to all of our supporters. I know so many of your listeners support the American Red Cross, so thank you. In order to support the survivors from the California wildfires and other disasters, you can make a financial contribution, redcross.org, or roll up a sleeve, donate blood, help us save lives. Go to redcrossblood.org, put in your zip code, and book that appointment.
Thank you very much, Courtney Sloniker. Always appreciate what you do. Thanks.
Bill, thanks for sharing your personal story, and can't wait to be on again.
All right. Thank you very much. And indeed, a blood transfusion literally saved my life in February of 1970 when I was in critical condition from a bleeding ulcer. So I have a lot of I'm very indebted to the Red Cross and all the people who do roll up a sleeve. And when you're doing that, you are saving lives. Congressman Juan Ciscomani is on the live line, and the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. He will be next after we take a short break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. Midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We send a lot of our listeners over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive. It's a great weekend getaway, or midweek getaway for that matter. Again, only about a three-hour drive. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and start your planning now for an enchanting time in the southwest portion of the land of enchantment. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line back to Washington, D.C. in United States. Representative Juan Ciscomani, who was elected in November to a second two-year term representing Southern Arizona's Congressional District Number 6. Congratulations, Congressman. How are you doing?
Thanks, Bill. I'm doing great. Back in Washington. Been here since actually Friday. I took the red eye back Saturday morning, and we've been through a lot of events over the weekend, and we'll be here until Friday again. So got a few more days to work this week.
How do you think the week has gone?
Well, it's been a very, very fast, busy week in a lot of ways. We've had a lot of events, but also have done and have worked on some real legislation here. We're going to pass again, the Lake and Riley Act later today. We passed it out of the House, went over to the Senate, coming back to the House after a few technical amendments. So going back to work immediately, the president signed a whole lot of executive orders on his first day as well on Monday. And then it's been just a busy, busy week.
You are now the vice chair of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Homeland Security, and I guess that will give you a little more influence addressing the border situation.
100%. That was the number one issue for voters this year. We saw it, and definitely the number one issue in our district. As you know, we've talked about this several times. And being on the Appropriations Committee, now the only appropriator from Arizona, Senate and House, to be on the Appropriations Committee is important for the state in a lot of ways. And also for our district in this specific case of being in Homeland Security. So I got transferred into this committee and was appointed as a vice chair. So we have a direct say on the resources that will be going back back into this this area. I just met with the Border Patrol Council Union right now, and they're advocating for the things that we've been fighting for, which is vehicles, resources for vehicles, for radios, for different types of technology, also for bonus retention, hiring bonuses as well. These are all things that we absolutely need, and of course, for pay increase for the agents. These are all things that we've been talking about for a while, and now I have a direct seat at the table to influence that, not just as a member in the Approps Committee or in the Homeland Security Subcommittee, but as a vice chair. Puts me in a really good position to fight for these things.
Do you think the numbers being so dramatically lower with the border crossings had something to do with the election of President Trump?
Oh, 100%. When the messaging matters so much, and actions as well, with the last 4 years under the Biden administration, the message was clear. The border is open. Come over. Just cross and no obstruction whatsoever. Claim asylum and you're going to be in. That was the message from the Biden administration. That's certainly not the message that we're hearing now. And it carries weight. And this actually saves lives, Bill, because now you don't, when people don't think that that's what they can absolutely do, it takes that coin or that token away from the cartels to be able to say, I can guarantee you entry, but you got to pay me so much money. They can't promise that anymore to these vulnerable families and women and children they've been trafficking for years. And also it puts the really bad actors that are crossing through, committing crimes, on watch as well, and say you're no longer able to just walk across and do your dirty business in this country.
That's a terrible time to be trying to cross into this country anyway, because we're having the coldest weather, as you know, in about 25 years here in southern Arizona. So the desert can be
dangerous.
Desert can be deadly, yeah, but not just in the summer, but in January as well. Yeah.
Yeah, we're seeing some of the lowest temperatures nationwide, but definitely over in our area. And as you know, the temperatures just dropped dramatically. And for these drug cartels in Mexico, humans and people are dispensable. They don't care. That we've seen that the kind of abuse that the migrants have gone through at the hands of these terrible people of the cartels. So this does obviously impact even more. So we're glad we're on it.
Are the cartels trying to recruit Americans, younger Americans, presumably through social media?
Yes, absolutely. That carries into this bill that I worked on last cycle, and now we have again, which is the Combating Cartels on Social Media Act. This tackles our social media recruitment activity. I've seen the screenshots that Border Patrol has shown me, and also the Sheriff's Department over in Cochise County, how they're promoting through Snapchat and some other social media networks, recruiting drivers, mainly drivers, and younger ones, to go down to the border and then just drive them up north. A lot of Tucson and Phoenix teenagers have done that, but also the business model started expanding over outside of Arizona. So individuals would fly in just to go do this kind of work. The majority, Bill, this is what some people may not know, but the majority of the drivers of the traffickers are U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of them are. And that's who they've been using. And this bill tackles on the social media side of it, that there has to be communication with law enforcement when they spot that kind of activity. And then I have, of course, another bill that it did pass the House last time to crack down on the high-speed chases along the border. That one passed the House with bipartisan support, but it went over to die in the Senate. Now, again, we've got it back in the House and over to the Senate, and we can expect that to move.
There was a third bill as well that was border-related. What was that one, Congressman?
That one was, it's called the Transnational Criminal Organization Illicit Spotter Prevention Elimination Act. Long title, but basically what this means is, when I was actually the last few times at the border, we could see the spotters, Bill, from where we were standing on the Mexico side, and I could also see where they would stand on the U.S. side as well. So these spotters are key. What Border Patrol is just telling me now, because of the way they do their shift changes, when one agent comes back to the station and they're changing the vehicle and basically tagging the next agent to go up, they have spotters in our own towns watching all this activity, letting the cartel the cartels from the Mexico side know. It's like, oh, they're on their way. You've got half an hour, 20 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it may be. And they alert them so they know how long they have to cross before agents get back in there. So the spotter business is huge as well, and a big tool for the cartels. So we can tackle the spotter side of it, the driver side of it, and also the way they recruit. These are a three-legged stool that we're trying to really impact the way they're doing business. So that combined with the message of the border not being open, we can continue to see these numbers drop.
What are you hearing about so-called roundups? Are these going to be targeting known criminals?
The priority will be, and Homan just said this again yesterday, which is they're going to be targeting those individuals that pose a danger to public safety. So these are people that are in the country that have deportation orders, and they still haven't left, and they're here committing crimes. So this is why the cooperation with counties and cities is so important, because a lot of these people are in their jails. And if they alert Border Patrol and ICE about that, ICE can come, and then you can just transfer the jurisdiction of them into ICE, and ICE can have them deported. These are people that are here committing crimes, that it's actually costing our communities money by, one, putting up their crimes, but second, having them in our jails. So we want them out. These are people that are here that shouldn't be here, and they're here hurting our own citizens. So they've got to go, and this is what the priority will be.
Juan Siscomani, U.S. Representative from District 6, Republican, with us on our live line. How about there's going to have to be cooperation working across the aisle, isn't there, in the House with the numbers? I don't know. I think the Repubs have maybe a 2 or 3 seat advantage, right?
Yeah, and it shifts because we have at least 2 reps here that have been called to the administration. So you have Mike Waltz, who will be the National Security Advisor. And then you also have Elise Stefanik from New York, who will be the ambassador to the UN. So these are 2 seats that will be vacant at least for a little bit until there's a special election. They're both from safe Republican districts, so that won't change the numbers on across the aisle here. But it will change the margin, that at least for a short period of time, that we have. So we have to stick together. We have to all show up. There's no, I missed this vote or another. We have to be here and make sure that the priorities are going through. And in a lot of these cases, I have seen talking about the Lake and Riley Act that just passed. Again, they're going to pass again today. That had bipartisan support, bipartisan sponsors in both the House and the Senate. So there is bipartisanship in that sense that on issues like the border, the country heard what was said at the the polls on November in November of what the country wanted. And even some Democrats that have been reluctant to support border security measures are now doing so. So, hey, the more the merrier on this. But the agenda is clear. We're going to carry through, whether they support it or not, Bill. That's what the country wants, and Republicans are focused on delivering on it.
All right, Congressman Juan Siscomani, great catching up with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Always nice to talk to you. See you soon.
Thanks very much. Congressman Juan Siscomani with us on the Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. On behalf of the Congressman and Tom, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the program, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow in about, 23 hours. Until then, be well.